And we wanted to do something special this month, and we worked it out where we're going to have a couple ladies share this month with you. I just know the anointing. We got some powerful lady speakers here at the church, preachers, evangelists. I think some even have doctorates. And we want to let them share with you because I think it's important that you get a big taste of what God's got, because God's got giftings and talents in all sorts of people. Amen? Amen. But someone who's real special to my heart and their family is real special to my heart is Sherry. Amen. So this morning, if you would, let's stand on our feet. I thought it'd be a blessing to have Sherry share some things with you. And God laid it on my heart to bring her and have her do that. So this morning, let's give thanks to God, but let's thank God for Sherry. Amen. Sherry Hunt. Amen. Praise God. All right, you're on.
I don't need that. Amen. Let's stand for just a minute. I'm going to pray. Father, I just thank you for this opportunity to speak on Mother's Day. I thank you, Father, that all of us have had a mother or we would not even be here. So, Father, I thank you for the creation of motherhood that has birthed each one of us for a destiny. Each one of us, Father, that has come into life for a purpose and a plan. Even if the enemy has tried to thwart it, Father, each person has a purpose and a plan, as well as the people watching online. And Father, I thank you that I'm a vessel to speak through this morning your words that you've given me. And I believe hearts are open to receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Okay. I have my faith water today. I'm a woman of faith. Chris Clinton gave this to me at Christmas, and I carry it everywhere as a woman of faith. She's with her mother this week. A lot of people I know are with their mothers this week. And as Melissa said, if my mom's gone on to heaven, but if you have one locally or still on earth, you do need to call her. Not just text, but call her in the name of Jesus. And today we are honoring mothers, and I'm speaking mainly to the women in the group. But I believe some of you men will receive some of the things I'm going to say. But we're daughters, first of all. We're wives, many of us. Mothers, nieces, sisters, aunts, stepmothers, mother-in-laws, adopted mothers. But most of all, we're daughters of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that's the most important, I guess, name we could have. My full name is Sherilyn Ann Hunt. And when God talks to me, he doesn't call me Sherry. He calls me Sherilyn, because that's my given name. And evidently, that's the name that's written in heaven that I have. When I go to see, I'll see Sherilyn Hunt up there. But I think one of the things that we face as mothers, or any of those relationships that God gives us to pray over, is many times obstacles that we have to pray through. And I had an example of this just this week. I was out working in the yard, and I was planting flowers and weeding flower beds, and I was right by the front of the yard and front of the house, and the open garage door was open. I had it open, and I kept hearing this chirp, 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 this little bird just going on and on and on. And finally I went in, and this little bird was sitting by my front tire, and I thought, oh, maybe he's hurt. Maybe he's, you know, did I hit him when I came in or something? And I tried to scoot him out, and he flew very low into one of my husband's shelves. Now, if you saw our garage, you see that the shelves are full of a lot of stuff when you're married to a handyman like this. And so I couldn't get the bird out, and I went back to doing what I was doing outside, thinking that, well, he'll come out eventually. Well, the mother bird came around, and this looked like a female cardinal, and she just started squawking. And you could just hear, it was like in the spirit, I could almost hear her say, come out, come out, you can do this, come out. And the baby bird's going, no, 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 I'm afraid, I'm afraid. And you hear this chatter for over 2 hours. I keep removing myself further away, thinking, okay, and the bird would, Mama Bird would sweep in the garage, and Baby Bird is, and back and forth and back and forth, until finally, tenacity. I kept thinking, tenacity. This mother is going to get this bird out, and you can almost hear her say, "You're not going to die in there. You're going to come out and fly." And of course, then my husband comes home about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and he goes and moves some of the stuff out, and then kind of scoots the baby bird out. Well, he or she is not flying real high, and goes into the bushes where it stays all afternoon. And so, of course, then the mother's going back and forth in front of our window, squawking all afternoon to try and get this bird to fly. But it showed me how, even in nature, mothers have a tendency, mothers want to get their birds to fly. We want to get our children to fly. That's what God has put in us. And the next morning, when we woke up, the birds were gone. So evidently, it flew off enough to go wherever it's going. And I thought, God, what a wonderful example for me to show today how, as I said, tenacious that mother was to continue on with sticking to the job that she had. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit this morning about some other mothers. We know that Eve was called the mother of living. And I read a quote, which I thought was really funny. God made the world in 6 days, rested on the seventh day, and my mom took over. And that's kind of how life happens, right? Mom takes over. Well, we can actually say that Eve influenced the entire world. But I've often thought about Eve. She lived in paradise. She didn't have to worry about anything. She didn't have to weed weeds in her garden, okay? She didn't, the aroma of flowers and vegetables diffused the air 24/7. She didn't have to go to the diffuser and put essential oils in like I do to get this wonderful smell in the air. She had all this thing. She didn't have to stand in line at the grocery store. She didn't have to go to 4 or 5 grocery stores to find the different things she wanted. She had it all there, right? Yep. Okay, to God. Because when she saw that tree of life, and Satan offered her something that she thought she could not live without, without all of God's blessings, that took over. And that was deception. And Eve stepped into a world of deception that many women today are still in. They spend all their time building their nest. I call us nesters. Some are neater than others. I'm sure I go to some of your house and everything is organized. And you come to my house and it's not organized. But we are nesters, and we like to buy things for our nest, and we like to bring the food in for our nest. Okay? But what do we do as far as spending time and money that we do for our nest when maybe we need to deepen our relationship with God? And we could use that time more for godly principles with that. I want you to think about this. Eve was the first wife. She was the first mother, but she was also the first sinner. She traded God's will for her desires, and her legacy is not just life, but it's also death. You ever thought about that? She no longer had that constant fellowship with God to raise her children with. After all, we know the story of Cain and Abel, and then she was blessed with Seth that actually carried on a lineage. But death began to be that in that relationship that she couldn't go to God and say, "God, what do I do with my kids? What do I do when they're in trouble? What do I do when I'm worried about them? What do I do when I need to make a decision for their life?" I feel like I was like Eve. This is part of my testimony. I felt like I was deceived 27 years of my life. Yes, I had a college degree. I've had other degrees since then. But my college degree did not prepare me for a life of motherhood. I married a wonderful man, David Hunt. We are now married 54 years. That's a testimony in itself. Yeah. And I had wonderful parents. I was an only child, so I never had the opportunity to have a sister, but God has blessed me so many with sisters in Christ. But 7 years into our marriage, we moved from Atlanta with two small children, Shelly, who is here today, my firstborn. She was 3.5 years old, and a newborn son. He was 9 days old. Now, it was hard enough to move across town, much less move out of state, when we were moving from Atlanta to Birmingham. By the way, one of my grandsons is here today, and that's Graham Copeland. I'm a grandmother of four. That's just a sidebar. Okay. So we moved into this house that was a four-bedroom house, and it was a tri-level house. This was 1974. That was quite popular in those days. But y'all, it had a two-car garage. That was a big thing to get a two-car garage, not just a carport in those days. And I remember moving in that night, and I thought, is this all there is to life? I have a husband and children in this beautiful house, but there just seemed to be an emptiness in my heart. And therefore, that's when the deception had carried me all these years to try and achieve worldly things or become a mother or become a good wife, but not become the daughter of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You see, that's where the deception follows with that. So our family lived 3,000 miles away at that time. Both of our families lived in California, and here we are in Birmingham, Alabama. We've lived in 5 states since we've been married. But we were in Birmingham, Alabama. My husband had accepted a new position. He was a retail management, and he was actually, at that time, personnel manager, and had to hire 500 people in a short amount of time for a brand new store. Needless to say, he was not home very much. Probably 60 hours a week he worked. You mothers can relate. I had a 3.5-year-old, a very active 3.5-year-old little girl, very active 3.5-year-old girl, and a brand new baby boy, and I could not cope. I got so despaired. I got so stressful. I got so angry. And I remember getting on my knees and saying, God, I need help. I need help with this. I need help with motherhood. And that's what many of us have been. Well, after a few days, I met a young gal in our neighborhood. She was also a young mom of two kids. And she's a good Baptist gal. And she said, how would you like to go to a neighborhood Bible study? All right, this is the testimony of why I'm even standing here today. I did not even know there was a Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the Bible. I knew nothing about the Bible. And I thought, I have a college degree. I'll learn about the Bible. I need to know what the Bible says. Needless to say that woman, as many of you have been, the teacher, this woman became a good friend, but the teacher and mentor of that Bible study loved me into the kingdom of God. The 20 women in that Bible study of all denomination faith, they loved me into the kingdom of God. And I had a radical, radical face-to-face encounter with Jesus Christ, which is actually another story. But when I met Jesus, I became a radical, passionate lover of God and a mother that was determined to try and raise my kids to know Jesus Christ, not the way I grew up going to church every day, but not knowing Jesus Christ, okay? But I also became a member of the Eternal Sisters in Christ Fellowship. And I think that's so important. Women need that fellowship, and we help one another. We nurture one another. Yes, we may swap recipes or help with getting ideas, but it's that love of other women that we also need. And many times, because I have lived in 5 states and I only in the last years of my parents' life did I live even near them, other women poured into me. Older women poured into me. Other grandmothers poured into me. And even when I got saved, I said, God, how did I even get saved? Because my parents went to a New Age religion that taught that Jesus was a good teacher and a good pastor and a good prophet, but he wasn't. He wasn't the Savior. And God spoke to my heart one day, and he said, your grandparents paid you into the kingdom of God. So see, grandparents, grandmothers have a significant role in that kingdom. Amen. Okay, I want to move to one other person that I feel like was such a mother to us. Not Eve, but this woman was a woman of faith. And we know that she trusted in God enough to submit and give her child to him. In Exodus, we read where Pharaoh commanded the midwives to throw all the baby boys in the river, and he could say, but they could save the daughters. And of course, the midwives were saying, we're not going to do that. Why? Because they feared God more than they feared the political mandate around them. And they would say, these women are strong. They just drop their babies quickly. We can't throw them in the water. But I want you to read in Exodus 2, 1 through 4. And a man of the house of Levi went and took as wife a mother of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, daubed it with asphalt and pitch, or we could call it tar, and put the child in it and laid it in the reeds of the river's bank. And his sister stood afar off to know what would be done to him. Now, I want you to think about this. This was a Hebrew mother who had a covenant with her God. But we do not see the name of the child in this section. I don't know if they ever gave him a Hebrew name, but it's never recorded a Hebrew name. But she had faith knowing that God had a destiny for this child. And if you don't hear anything else today, remember this. We as children of God are not wired for anything but fear. We are wired for faith. We are not wired for fear. We are not wired for anxiety. We're wired for peace. We're not wired for hate. We're wired for love. Because we have the DNA of God in us. He is within us. So she was a woman of faith. And just like that mama bird that was determined to not let that baby die in our garage and stay there, this woman was determined to let her son live. I don't know, I've thought about 3 months. Why did she wait 3 months? Well, you know, when you think about the first 3 months of a child's life, they eat, they poop, they sleep. So maybe at that point, it was getting time, this baby was becoming more obvious to live. And that was the time that she had to do something with him. Okay, so if I know that she had to go before the Lord, she said, you know, God, what do I do? What is the strategy with this? Many times when we're in a situation with other people, with our families, we go before the Lord and we say, what's the strategy? What's the strategy of prayer? Because what does James tell us in chapter 1 and 5? If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives all liberally. It doesn't say he just gives to you a little bit. He'll give to you liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So I know that God said, okay, I have a plan. The plan is to build an ark or a basket, cover it in tar so it's waterproof, and put your baby in it and send it down the river. Can you imagine? It's hard to even imagine thinking of crocodiles or anything else that may be in the river at that time. Can you imagine sending your child down there? But she knew that she had faith because she heard the strategy of what God said. And when you think about it, as mothers, we build baskets for our kids. They're called cribs, bassinets, you know, porta cribs, a place of safety. And what's so funny about our little baskets, when we moved to this place in Alabama, again, my son was 9 days old. You're a younger congregation. We didn't have porta cribs in those days. We didn't have baby car seats that strapped you in those days. But you know what I had for my son? I had a banana box. And that banana box, it was covered in contact paper. Actually, a sorority sister at college had given it to me when Shelly was born. So this banana box became his ark of safety. And movers are coming and going, and here's this baby laying in this banana box. And we put the banana box in the car, and we moved him around the next few days as we're moving and getting settled until we could get a crib set up. But we want to put an ark of safety around a child. even people have used drawers. You know, we've heard of them using dresser drawers before. Anything small that you feel like they would feel safe in. And that's what she did. She built this ark. I'm sure that when she was getting ready to take the ark to the river, she's like, "You're my child. You have a destiny. I love you." She poured into that baby. I remember reading where Abe Lincoln, when his mother died, he was only 9 years old. And you know the last thing that she said to him? She said, "Be somebody, Abe." It's the last word she said to him. And then he was raised with a stepmother who he calls an angel of light. And that stepmother poured into him. Well, I can imagine Jochebed saying to her baby, "Be somebody. You're going to be a child of destiny." And that's what we can pray for all of our children, our grandchildren, all those that we mentor, all the young women that are having babies, those babies to be somebody. You see, God had a plan, and we see that this baby was not named until his adopted mother, the princess of Pharaoh, took him out of the water, and she said, "He will be named Moses." Moses meaning, "Because I drew him out of the water." So we don't he had an Egyptian name per se from his adopted mother. And also with this is interesting, this is the first time you read of an international adoption. All right, there may have been others, but this is a recorded one. And so adopted children have a destiny. If you've been adopted, or you know people that have been adopted, or a mother has given her child, it's usually because she wants the child to be safe. She wants that child to be secure. And therefore, it has a destiny. Amen. Amen. You see, even wherever, even if a baby goes down a river, we have to remember, we think, God doesn't leave our kids. He doesn't leave us, any of us, because he says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you," what? "With my righteous right hand." In Isaiah 41:10. See, fear not. God will not leave you no matter where you go, no matter what rivers you go up and down in life. He is always there to strengthen you, always there to hold you, always there. Why? Because our God is not just our Heavenly Father. He's also a Heavenly Mother. He has the heart of a mother in him. He has that heart of a mother that's always there to nurture you, to love you. And we know that Jochebed had to be a great mother because she also had three kids that became famous. She had Miriam, who was a prophetess and a musician. She had Aaron, who was the first priest of the high priest order. And then she had Moses, who became the leader and deliverer of the people and set the people free. And so we also know that, you know, in the stories that, you know, he came back and was weaned by her for a few more years. But then I thought about this, and I thought, can you imagine how you live in a community and you know that your son is in the temple near you and you may see him from time to time. You may hear of him time to time. What was her reaction? And I can't help but think she said, "My son has a destiny. My son has a destiny. He's going to be somebody. He's going to be somebody." Well, we know that Eve left a legacy of sin and death. But Jochebed, what did she leave? She left a legacy of trust and deliverance. Amen. Now, we too can build an ark. But you know what our ark looks like? It looks like this. You see, we do this, and then we do this. And we are under the ark of prayer. That's how we build an ark around of those that are loved ones. And you know what we put in this ark? We put in the Word of God. We put in communion. We put in worship. We put in, oh, thank you, Father, the ability to have a voice to declare and decree. I used my ark in many times, and as just have you, in many situations. But I want to share just a few. Like, what did I do as a wife when once I was at my devotional time at 7 in the morning, knowing my husband had gone into work for an early staff meeting, knowing that there was going to be a future change in the position that he was in as well as the store he had. And then I found out that his job of 32 years was being eliminated. What did I do as an ARC? I took scripture cards and I laid them all over my living room. And I put on worship tape. And for 4 hours, I prayed that word. I declared that word. I claimed victory over that situation. I worshiped the King of Kings and the Lords of Lords, who is our way maker. I raised hallelujah. That's what I did with our ark. And God changed the circumstances in our life. But we're good years later. What did I do as a niece when I had an uncle hundreds of miles away who had a successful heart surgery? And in the middle of the night, God woke me up and he said, pray, 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 pray for him, because pray against death. And so again, I got the word out and I claimed the word and I spoke life and life into that heart, and I got a peace and it was okay. And then a few minutes, it was stirred up again. Pray, 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 life. And I prayed life. And then I got a peace and it was okay. And then it came up again. And I went through the same thing again until finally I said, okay, God, I know it's been done. I know it's been done. Well, it was a few days later before I found out that this uncle coded three times that they brought him back to life. Mm-hmm. And the doctor said to the nurses, you have just seen the miracle of a hand of God working. And one nurse came back the next day and said, I want to meet that miracle of God. Isn't that awesome? That's what we do. We build an ark. Or as a mother sitting in a church service, as I was with people around me, and all of a sudden I realized God said, pray, pray for your son Aaron. He was on a government trip thousands of miles away, and I just knew that he needed prayer protection. And I began to pray, opened my Bible, and I looked at Psalm 91. And I quoted Psalm 91, and for 15 or 20 minutes, people around me, they didn't have any idea what was going on. But I was building an ark over him, an ark of protection over him, until I got a release. And it was over a week later before I said, what happened on that Sunday? And as I was in church, and I just had to pray with you, and he said, praise God. And he said, I was in a secure, I can't give you the details, but I was in an insecure situation. And he said, I said, Mom, my mother is in church right now. With the time zone, another time zone. He said, my mother is in church right now. Have her pray for me right now. See, there's no distance in the spirit when God wakes you up to pray for someone like that. Yes. That same son came into our living room 2 years ago after coming from the doctors and got a diagnosis of kidney cancer. And my husband and I anointed him with oil. We built an ark of prayer around him. We quoted the word for him. And he and others as well stood on the word, prayed over that word, and he had a successful surgery, and that cancer has never returned. Amen. Praise God. So what do we do when we're in situations like that? We continue to build an ark. As a daughter who had a mother that I prayed for over 40 years for her salvation. And many in here have prayed for that as well. And I had intercessors praying. We were praying. I was believing that you and your household shall be saved. You know, in Acts 16:31, I was saved. Well, I wanted my whole household to save. And we know, and it was confirmed even through Pastor James, she confessed to him before she died, 1 week before she turned 91, she accepted Jesus, her Lord. Don't give up. Don't give up praying for those that we're praying for years. Or even as a mother-in-law whose son-in-law lived the life and tasting the goodness of God. And then he tasted the fruits of the devil. And how I had to get up many times, as well as my daughter and my grandchildren. And we had to pray. We've prayed the ark of protection around him. We've prayed that God would be revealed in him. And even though there's been a terrific marital situation the last year and an ugly divorce, it still is God that's in control of the situation right now, in the name of Jesus. Because as a daughter of the Most High, as a daughter of the Most High, that's what all us women are. We are daughters of the Most High. We can go into the throne room of grace and we can say, we have a covenant. We have a covenant, just like Jochebed did. We have a covenant of God to pray, to put an ark around our families, those that have called us. Mm. We are women and mothers of influence who fight the good fight in faith. We hold the hands of all ages, except for Doris and maybe Don. I'm one of the elders here as far as women. But we love the women here, and we hold them and hug them and pray for them. Some of them as spiritual daughters to us. But that's what we do as women of faith. We continue on, and we learn to hit the delete button when offenses come our way, because they do, don't they? Many times in family gatherings and family situations, they'll pop up all the time. But we have to learn to keep that ark of purity and of love. Because why? Because we trust Him. Amen. And we trust the tools that He's given us to make that ark. Now, women do not just have to make the ark, but men can as well. Amen. Because, see, you have the Word of God. You have a covenant with Him. You can have communion. You can share the blood of Jesus over that situation. Mm-hmm. You have access to worship, yeah, to enter into the King of Kings and the Lords of Lords. We have the tools that He's given us, and by faith, we're going to continue to use those by faith. I want to read this little poem that God gave me, and it is mainly for the women here. You are a woman of the Word, filled with glory and might. You have been taught to pray and be a strong light. My glory is your dress, my light is your jewel. Stay in my presence as you continue to kneel. For I have anointed you to go forth with my word, a song, hug, or kiss. You have my compassion for all, given as a gift. To give freely to others with a smile, word, or deed, yet the result will earn eternity. Don't take your job lightly, as so many do, for you are a woman of the Word, my woman, one of my chosen few. Hallelujah. And I know it's early, and a lot of people have things going on today. I'm going to pray for each one of you. And I know Pastor and Melissa will be at the back, and William and Wesley are going to be giving out flowers. But I would like each one of you, if you can, because even if you're sons, you had a mother, or you had a sister, or you have a daughter, or you have a niece, all of us have someone in that relationship. And I would like us to put our hands on our heart right now, because, you know, they always talk about the mother's heart right now. And some of you that may have been adopted and you didn't know your real mother, or you were raised by a stepmother, and we have many blended families today, many blended families where we've had to work into new relationships. So, Father, I thank you today that as we just close this out, Father, we close it out because we are honoring mothers. And Lord, there's people here that have a hurt. They have a hurt. They have a concern. They have an anxiety. They have a fear, Father, for maybe their daughters, their nieces, their daughter-in-laws, their stepmothers, their mothers. And so, Father, you are a God of deliverance. You are a God that can change and remove those hurts. Words that have maybe been spoken over them for years of anger, we release that right now in the name of Jesus. We erase that with the blood of Jesus. We thank you, Father, for the hurts of separation, because you can take those away right now in the name of Jesus. We release that. We release that, Father. I speak of words that have been trying, even as we try and speak the right words many times to other people, but they've been misinterpreted, and they've caused confusion, and they've caused hurt. Cancel those words out in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you for the love that you have for each one of us as a child of God. Sons and daughters, that's what we are. When we go into eternity, we're going to be sons and daughters. And so, Father, pour your love into us today. For those whose mothers have gone on ahead and they're missing them terribly, Father, fill them with your glory today, so that they have a taste of what the glory of God is. For those children that have been wayward, Father, that have not come back home, the prodigals and the hurts, we release those prodigals to you right now in the name of Jesus, just as Jochebed did, sending that child down the river. But you had a plan. You have a plan for those prodigals, Father. And we call them back in the name of Jesus. We call them back in the name of Jesus. Ooh, for all the stepmothers particularly that have taken on the love and the care and the concern of a child that they may not have born, the adopted mothers, fill them with your grace, Father, so that they can mother according to what you want them to be. Thank you, Father. And I believe all over today, each one of you is receiving a special love of the Father, but it's coming from the love of the Mother today. Thank you. You each have a destiny. Yes. You each are part of the plan of God. Yes. And don't let, as Eve was deceived, don't let deception steal that from you. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen.